Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joining me live on the line is Catholic Health CEO Mark Sullivan. Mark, we know it's a very busy time. Thanks for taking the time to join us this morning. How have you been preparing hospitals for the wave that we're expecting of coronavirus patients?
Well, good morning, Brian. Thank you for all that you're doing for the community to get the message out. Before we get started, I wanted to thank all our healthcare heroes out there in Western New York. They truly are the warriors of the front line, and they're in our prayers, and they're doing great work. Preparing, it's really important. I think Eisenhower said it's not the plan, it's the planning. So as facts change and data comes in, we continue to modify our plan. We're pleased that we've been able to scale up St. Joseph campus in less than a week, and we are already on track. We have over 52 patients there now, all COVID positive. We had our first discharge early in the week, and we're excited about that. So we're preparing each of the facilities. So just this week, we focused on closing particular units within each hospital within Catholic Health. So now they are designated COVID units. So we address the same protocols, the same approach that we have at St. Joseph's Treatment Center, and that's been working out well. According to the briefing I had late last night,
you have separate wings of hospitals that are just reserved for COVID-19 patients. Can you explain kind of how that works?
Sure. It's truly a force multiplier. What that means is that instead of having patients dispersed throughout a hospital in different rooms that have COVID, the personal protective equipment would need to be changed between each room. The force multiplier is by having designated units or a designated facility like we have at St. Joseph's, the unit becomes hot or red, if you will. And that means that we have areas that are yellow and green outside of that area. So we make a wing really a COVID unit, and that enables us to manage the staff differently, manage the PPE, give them the resources they need, and contain those patients that are positive COVID on a unit. Now, naturally, units will continue to grow and expand not only through Western New York, New York State, and the rest of the country, but if you can do that in lockstep with your positive cases, you'll be able to continue to handle more and more of the surge. Rather than reacting, we're being proactive in that approach.
You mentioned the surge. We keep hearing every single day about what's coming, but what have you seen inside the hospitals already?
Yes. So there's two things I'll point out, Brian, is that the governor's done a great job outlining the state's trajectory. We have predictive analytics that we're running hourly at Catholic Health based on the patients we have, the positive cases in Erie County. And then we're overlaying the Department of Defense report, which talks about the practice guide for COVID. And the trajectory we see is kind of in line with what the governor says. Remember that without having a low test rate in this community, it's hard to determine what the positive cases will be. But we know the trajectory from the Department of Defense report says that the onset of symptoms to the point where they would be admitted into an intensive care can be 14 days from when they acquire it. So it depends on the situation of each individual. It's important to note, though, that remember, 80% of the population can recover at home. They're positive. We're seeing Chris Cuomo recovering in the basement of his home. We're seeing others as well. So I think it's important that the community knows that, but we don't know the actual numbers for the surge. We are predicting it based on the data that we currently have and trying to prepare our facilities for that.
When is that prediction for? Is that 2 weeks out from now? Is that a month?
It's hard to say. I would say it's probably between that. And again, I'm not a scientist, and we don't have all the data necessary to make that conclusion. I think the five predictive models that the governor is referring to are the ones we're going by, and then we just add a week or two onto that. I will say in the last week, we've seen a significant increase in the number of positive COVID showing up in the hospital. So when we spoke a couple weeks ago, we were in the single digits. Now we're up to 87 as of 6:30 this morning, 87 active positives within our system, and 36 that are patients under investigation. Super important to note, I mentioned this in our last time, right? The power of testing. We were super fortunate on a midnight run to Rochester. The University of Rochester stepped up. We took 200 testing samples there, took them there at 9 at night. They gave us the data at 5 in the morning. We were able to move 55% of our patients out of a unit that was patients under investigation. They were negative. So can you imagine that force multiplier of having the testing right at hand? We're able to move patients around and also discharge them home. So we're really grateful to the University of Rochester for stepping up and helping us with that while we're waiting for our testing.
You mentioned your staff right off the top. What are they seeing on a day-to-day basis? Those working in these, we'll call them COVID wings of hospitals. And how are they holding up to this point?
I was at St. Joseph Hospital at 10 to 7 on Wednesday. And I'll tell you this right now. They are the warriors and the heroes of our community. They go to school to save lives. They go to school to change lives. No matter what your profession is, meaning a nurse, environmental services, physician, a respiratory therapist, supply procurement, they all are. Seeing a shift come out at 7, I wanted to see that. They were tired. Their blood vessels on their faces were exploding a little bit. They had Band-Aids on their noses, the outline of their goggles. But hearing them talk at their lockers, the camaraderie brought me to tears because we have incredible caregivers in this community, and it's exhausting. And it's important to note that no one's ever seen anything like this, and no one's had to deal with this ever. So you can't go back and look at history books to say, how do we care for these patients? You can only go back to the state of Washington, to New York City, to Italy, South Korea, and China, and see what works. But the caregivers have been incredible. I am more motivated than ever just seeing them work together. Here's a great example. We had two really great critical care staff at Mercy Hospital. They created a curriculum with 8 to 12 stations at St. Joseph's where we can train our staff. So there's been over 200 staff members that have gone through a very, very intense didactic training on how to treat patients with COVID in the ICU. Which physicians are coming in that want to help, caregivers that may not work in an ICU. So that is another force multiplier for us, is they're getting the best training, and then we're going right on a unit and practicing that and learning that. So there's a tremendous energy at all of our sites. Probably the most exciting news for today, which you'll be the first to know, just 27 minutes ago, we received state approval in record time. So I thank the governor and his team for opening the first COVID recovery center. We are going to be opening in a partnership with the McGuire Group an 80-bed unit in Orchard Park that will help us decompress the surge. Because remember, Brian, the surge is just not about the acute care sites. Where will patients go after they recover? So this is monumental for our health system. We'll couple this with home care and the quarantine patients at home, and we'll really be able to attack this head on. So that's great breaking news for us.
We heard yesterday the governor talk about ventilators and the state's ventilator supply. He's worried it could be exhausted in just under a week's time. What about here locally and what you've seen in Western New York? Do we have the supply to keep up with the demand we're expecting?
Well, I think the demand we're expecting, remember, is kind of an unknown. There are models that show that. But we continue at Catholic Health to build our ability to handle the surge. And we were very excited. Again, the governor and the state came through. We received 14 ventilators delivered by the National Guard, I believe it was, on Wednesday at St. Joseph's. But we're also looking at creative solutions. We're super fortunate. ASC of Western New York in Amherst that took the community stance and closed their services to support the community, they let us rent their anesthesia machines. What does that mean? We can convert those into ventilators. So we just picked up another dozen or so ventilators just by doing that. And we have other agreements in place with others as well. So the surge is going to totally overwhelm the community as far as the need for ventilators, but we keep building our cadre. But we're also working closely with the governor because we want to make sure that the people in the state that are desperate need of ventilators have them while they're in the middle of the surge. So we've been on the phone internationally. I just was on the phone with someone out west at 5:30 this morning to try and procure ventilators, not just for Catholic Health, but also hopefully to help out the state any way we can. It's not just the ventilators, though. It's also all the equipment that goes with that. The circuits that you see in the movies where the device that's actually on the patient are needed. You need the medication. You need the filters. So it's not just the ventilator. It's everything that supports those ventilators.
Testing is something that's been talked about a lot, and I know you've spoken a lot about the rapid testing, the ability to do that, but it's kind of becoming more and more clear by the day that we're just not close to having the testing supplies to be able to carry out what places like Catholic Health and other hospitals have the ability to do in terms of rapid testing. Where do we stand on that testing supply? Do you have confidence that, you know, that so-called rapid testing could begin soon?
I am. That is my mission. We will have rapid testing here in Western New York. That is my waking mission, first and foremost, to take care of the safety of our associates and our patients, and then testing. So I mentioned the force multiplier by the U of R stepping in and helping us. We will have rapid testing. I've pulled out all the stops in the last week, and I am very confident we will have it. The key is going to be is who gets the testing. It's important for listeners to know that we really got to focus on the patients that are PUIs or patients under investigation so we can determine can we free that bed up for someone and send them home. So we'll definitely start with the patients, then we'll work closely with any associates that may be at risk, and of course we'll coordinate with Niagara and Erie County health departments to see how we could help them. But this is my mission to be able to deliver this testing to the community with those caveats I just mentioned.
It's good to hear. Hey, thank you so much again for the time. That's Catholic Health CEO Mark Sullivan joining us live.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.